you, team. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome out to Carey Church. It is awesome to be here with you today and to be able to be a part of our Created for King and Community series. Now, you may be wondering why I'm up here again when I started this series, going, hey, we've already heard from you once, go away, let us listen to somebody else. Well, the reality is that I'm not meant to be here today. So my lovely wife, Em, was meant to be sharing the message with you today, but unfortunately she has shingles, and so is not very well at all, and so I am going to be Em for you today. Sort of. She's a lot smarter and more impressive than I am, and this message would be a lot better if she was sharing it, to be honest with you. But I'm going to do my best to kind of bring her message for you today, so invite you to be gracious with me as I share somebody else's message. It's always fun. And she's watching at home, so hi, honey. Anyway, so let's consider where we've been in this series so far, shall we? By the way, for those of you who know me, my name's Nathan. I was a person that Kat introduced before, so just in case you're wondering. If you haven't been here for the rest of our series so far, let's kind of give you a bit of a recap about where we've been, or maybe you've been here and you can't remember anything that's been talked about. That's okay too. I'm going to give you a quick kind of summary of over the last couple of weeks. So as I said, I had the privilege of starting this series for King and Community, and I spoke about spiritual gifts, that they are part of God's resourcing for God's people, that we consider the idea that all gifts are valuable, not just the upfront kind of ones, but the behind the scenes, and that all of them can be exercised in love. All of them are designed to be expressed in love and community. Pastor Sarah came up in week two, and she shared about knowing what we have a heart for, what we're passionate about, and that being our fuel for action, that we take those passions and seek to put them into action somehow. Last week, Liz spoke about considering what's in your hand to do. What have you got? What can you kind of go forward with being people of action and not having to have everything kind of perfectly mapped out for you before you start, but actually just going, hey, let's just take a step of faith and see what God will do as I take what God has given me to be able to work with. So today, as we've kind of considered all those kind of things, today we're going to consider the idea about personality, about the way that God has made us uniquely with our personality and how that fits in the whole mix. You may wonder, if you're a regular here at Care, we've set our auditorium up a little bit differently today. I'm a little bit closer to you, so I do notice that nobody decided to sit in the front row, that kind of the spit zone where a preacher kind of gets, so second row people, hopefully I don't get too excited and it reaches you, but we'll see how we go. But one of the reasons that we chose to set up the auditorium this way this morning is because it gives you, I guess, a little bit of a chance to see each other as well as what's happening, closer to the front of the auditorium today. And so we're going to give you a chance to do that now, because I'm going to ask you some quick poll questions just to see a bit of diversity in the room today. So I'm going to give you some opposites, and I want you to put your hand up to say which one you are, okay? So it's like, what kind of person are you? So a nice easy one to start with. Who's a summer person here? Okay. Winter? Yay for winter. Cool. What about cheese versus chocolate? Cheese, that's a tough one, isn't it? Yeah. Chocolate, yeah, that was a bit, I can see people putting up their both hands for that one, yeah. What about details versus big picture? Details, yep, big picture. Yeah, we're doing pretty well with our split so far. I apologize for this one up front. Introverts, extroverts. Oh, wow, that was a lot less than I thought. Short fuse or long fuse? Short fuse? I got some people putting up other people's hands. That's you. Long fuse? Yay. And finally, what about cat or dog? Cat people? Dog people? Yeah, the dog people, we win. Awesome. So here we are, just in that moment, particular tastes, preferences, types of people. Now the reality right now, Emma's a dog person. And so I'm going to show you a picture of our two dogs. This is Arthur and Winston. Arthur is our old dog. He came into our family around the time that our youngest Jono was born. So he's probably in his 80s or 90s dog years kind of time. And he has been lovingly described in the past as a carpet on legs. He lies there. He doesn't do very much. Even when he was young, he didn't do very much. He just kind of lay around, just was very companionable, liked to be with people, but really didn't move too far. And so as he was getting on a bit, we thought, oh, it's time probably to organize a replacement for him. And because he was such an awesome dog, we'll get the same kind of dog because that'll be great. And we'll get another Arthur. We got a Winston. Winston is like a hyperactive squirrel with anxiety. He is the absolute opposite of Arthur. And so you think about this, you don't even find differences just in people, you find them in pets as well. There is this diversity in all of creation. And we can go a bit further as well. And so what about in Scripture this morning? Do we see different personalities in Scripture? Let's just think about New Testament even. We think about Mary, the chosen as Jesus's mum. Have a read through her Magnificat later. She has a keen eye for justice, the big picture of what God might do in the world, and her role in partnering with it. By the way, my wife loves art, and so you're going to see some cool art through this sermon this morning as well. We talk about Peter, declared that Jesus was the Son of God, and soon after had his get behind me Satan moment, both the extremes. He walked on water. He spoke and acted before thinking often. He chopped us off somebody's ear in one gospel. He put himself out there though, and Jesus trusts him when Jesus is leaving to feed my sheep, to care for God's people, for the church that was yet to be born. John, he's our emotionally engaged guy. He leans up against Jesus' chest, describes himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. There's some confidence for you. And he starts his gospel with dramatic, expressive language. Martha, working behind the scenes, faithfully showing her love for Jesus in the practical details. So many different personalities that are invited there to partner with Jesus. So, question time for us this morning as we consider this idea of personality. What if diversity, that incredible range of difference that we see all around us in the world and here in the room today, is actually a feature of who God is, a feature of his design for the world rather than a glitch? What if those differences are actually a clue for us about the expansiveness of God, about how big that he is, the one who holds all of it in love, that rampant creativity brings God great joy, and that God looks at it and calls it truly good? What if diversity is actually meant to express the character of who God is, and that when he looks across a room full of so many different people, he's actually excited about that, that there's no place here for cookie cutter Christians. You know, just when you cut it and all the cookies look exactly the same and they taste all the same. I believe that God loves diversity, that our personalities can be embraced and deepened and transformed as we follow Jesus together. And so today we want to consider some text from Ephesians that reminds us about this, and something a little bit different. I want to actually share this today from the Message translation. So if you can bear with me, we'll have a read from there together. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through to 7, in the Message paraphrase, sorry, not translation, it says this: "You are all called to travel the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift." if we wanted a reminder this morning of that God values diversity, there it is right in the text for us. That doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. We are meant to be a diverse people. So, let's talk about personality for a moment, shall we? Personality is a really interesting part of who we are. Has anyone done any of the online personality tests before? Just so they tell you who you are. Yeah. there's all sorts of different ones. There's Myers-Briggs, which is a bit of a corporate kind of tool. Others, of course, you find like the Star Trek version or the Muppets or those kind of things, or Lord of the Rings, depending which one you know your preference is. There's something called the DISC profile, which I'll be honest and say I'd never heard about, but Em's got it in her notes here, so I better say it. I think it's pretty similar to Myers-Briggs. There's Enneagrams, which is maybe a slightly different kind of thing again, often used as a spiritual formation kind of tool. Some people love these kind of tests. You know, they can trigger some self-understanding and go, oh, that's why I do that kind of thing. Or, you know, I never really realized that about myself, but looking at it now, yep, I get that. We can get some understanding about how we tick on a basic level. And there can be a sense of solidarity and knowing that we are not alone in our weirdness, that there are other people who are weird, just like me. And sometimes that can help us. Sometimes it doesn't, but yeah, it might do. But then there's some of us maybe that don't like labels, don't like being put in a box. And the idea of actually doing one of those tests and it coming out and telling us this is what you are can make us feel quite anxious or resistant. It's probably just worth noticing our response to that kind of question and being a bit curious about it. And there might be some insight for us just in that. So what is personality? There's so much to what makes people work and what makes people people, but personality is an attempt to consider how our temperament and our responses to life can have a sense of consistency to them, particular characteristics of how we are in the world in our day-to-day lives. One of the things that you probably don't know about me is that I am an introvert. And so the whole idea of getting up on stage and actually, you know, sharing a message and doing these kind of things is something I've had to develop over time. The very first sermon I ever preached went for 24 minutes. Out of that 24 minutes, 12 minutes of it was me going, okay, yep, all right, okay, yep, okay, so, okay. Thankfully, I've progressed a little bit since then. But that's part of who I am as a person. I'm an introvert. Once upon a time, these traits, these our personalities, it was thought of as inbuilt. So you were born as a packaged whatever. And that was what you were. And forever on and afterwards, that is what you remained. We come as that kind of hardwired picture. And then science has kind of got swung the other way and for a period of time, and it was thought that you were born a blank slate and that basically your personality was developed through life as you experienced things and as you went. Like a lot of things, over time it's kind of come back to a more of a central point where we kind of look at it now and we understand it's more of a combination of the two. It is both nature and nurture. Genetic and environmental. When we think about personality, it can be easy to think about the areas where we fall short first. Hey, we kind of go, well, I'm like this, and the way we describe ourselves is, I'm maybe too much. I talk too much, or I overthink things. I'm too bossy, I'm too quiet, I'm too laid back. Or maybe we think about where we're not enough. Not charismatic enough, not funny enough, not careful enough, not decisive enough. But what are some great things about you as a person? What are some great things about who you are in the way that God created you to be? Think about those characters from scriptures we referenced just before, if you need a hand. Each of them different in personality, each of them different in their expression of that character and who God designed them to be and of the experiences they'd had in life. And yet God used each one of them, and there were great things about who they were. Some of us are creative thinkers, deep feelers, committed peacemakers, dedicated workers, passionate change makers, nurturers, relators, contemplatives, or energy bringers. And why does this whole matter? Why do these things matter this morning? Why are we looking at this today when we think about being created for king and community? Because our abilities, our spiritual gifts, and our passions are all expressed through our personality. I might have the spiritual gift of administration, but that is expressed through who I am. There's a different way that I do it than somebody else who has the same gift would do it. Think about when you were at school, all of the different teachers that you had. Each of them probably in some way or another having a gift for teaching. And yet were they all the same? No way. All of them different. All of them expressed that gifting through their own personality. We are multi-layered people. We have gifts, we have passions, we have skills and abilities, we have personalities, and they're not kind of like separate boxes. They are interlinked. They are how God put us all together. And all of our personalities have light and shade and strengths and growth areas and the blind spots that we need to develop in. And following Jesus doesn't mean that we have to camouflage who we are as a person. He doesn't want us to become all, you know, like just bland, neutral people. You know how sometimes when you are making a dinner for people and you don't know what they really like, and so you don't want to make it too spicy because people might not like spice, and you don't want to make it too whatever because they might not like that, and so you end up going, what can we make that's really neutral for everybody? Macaroni cheese, because it's just that middle of the road kind of taste, middle of the road kind of meal, you know, that most people like, and you can get away with it. But at the same time, you know, macaroni cheese can be a bit bland sometimes if you don't put enough stuff into it. Got a bit of bacon and a bit of parmesan. So instead of being weirdly neutral, how about we celebrate the image that God created us with and celebrate our diversity and look to understand ourselves and those around us with compassion and awareness and humility and a desire to grow? Because when we have self-awareness and a sense of the acceptance of God in who we are, we don't need to paper over those dark parts of our personality, our sins, as, well, that's just who I am. Or, I'm just not a sensitive person, so if I hurt you, meh. But instead, we're ready to deal with it in robust reality rather than be threatened by it. I want you to hold that thought because we're going to come back to it a little bit later. So our differences, our personalities are a part of the creative flourish of a generous God, one who has room for all of us. And God likes it that way. We know that God loves us, kind of because he has to. You know, he's a God of love, and so it kind of goes with the package. You know, but have you ever wondered whether God actually likes you? We can sing this morning, you know, I am a child of God, loved by him. And we know that that's true. The Bible tells us that it is. But have you ever wondered if he actually likes you? Maybe some of you here this morning need to know that God likes you. He doesn't just love you, he likes you. With all of your diversity, all of your quirks and differences. God is not just tolerating you, but he is delighted and genuinely likes you too. 1 Corinthians 12:14-19. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? Now, I don't know about you, and this might be part of my strange personality, but every time I read those verses, I go, oh, they missed such a great chance to put a dad joke in there. You know, if the whole body were an ear, how would it smell? Terrible. Thank you very much. These verses remind us that we can't say, I have no need of you. We are meant to be in this together. We created for community in this way. In the same way that a body is put together with all the different parts and all the different things that it has, it's designed to all work together in diversity. There is no personality so small or insignificant that it is not vital for the whole. There is no personality so large and impressive that it can feel qualified to be independent, the lone arm out on a limb. This is not God's design for God's community. So, this morning your response might be, great, I'm prepared to accept and believe what you're saying, Nathan. I might be a kneecap, you know, or a pinky finger, or a forehead, or a back of the knee. Somebody has to be the back of the knee. And I'm going to work with that, you know. I'm not going to try to be something I'm not. I'm going to work with that. I'm okay with that particularity of who I am. But that's not where the story ends, is it? Because the picture that we're given here is of difference held together in a shared life. There are some things we all need as part of the body, regardless of our differences. So let's quickly consider a few of them. We need to recognize our interconnectedness. We are different in a healthy way. We're not just this blur of community, but we are not independent. The flourishing of others matters to our flourishing and to the heart of God. They are not separate compartments. Jesus at one point is sitting with the disciples and they said, teach us to pray. And so what does he do? He sits them down and he goes, pray like this, our Father. He doesn't say my Father, he says our Father. We are interconnected. And he says, we belong together. We have the same standing as children of God. 1 Corinthians 12, 25-26. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with us. We need to refuse competitiveness. That's being conformed to the world. We are called to think differently about our shared humanity, our community in Christ, to experience an interdependence that is the model for ultimate health. My blessing, my flourishing is caught up with yours and with ours and with that of the wider community. And it's not a zero-sum game. We are better together than we are on our own. We need to belong. We need to be seen and heard and known. Home is a place where we can go and exhale and invite others in. So how can we grow in this? Think about our hospitality, our welcome. As the household of God, the one who gathers us in from many places, cultures, from the mainstream and the margins, we want to be a community that is unusually good at hospitality and welcome. How can you express hospitality through your personality? You might not feel comfortable being the one on the door that is there and has to say hello to every single person that comes in the room and greet them with a smile and do all those kind of things. That might not be how you express hospitality. But you might be able to have a chat with somebody one-on-one. You might be able to help in the morning tea time out the back there, serve people tea and coffee where all you need to do is actually fill up a cup and smile and say, have a nice day. We can all be involved in doing this, express hospitality through our personality. Belonging isn't about being tolerated and allowed in the door. It's about being among family, being fully included. 1 Peter 3 verse 8. It says, finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. We all need grace. We need grace for others and believe in our future together. Remember that Jesus taught us to pray, our Father. If you keep reading on through that prayer, he then also took for granted that at some point we were going to need to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us on a regular basis. It wasn't a surprise to him. He knew there are blind spots in us, frailties, and we need to have room for that in others as well. Psalm 103, 13 to 14, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. We want to be a people that can keep the main thing, and be able to look past the irritations that happen in relationship within a community. Now, don't mishear me here. That's not about minimizing serious issues or neglecting boundaries. If there's something weighty to address, then grace says we need to deal with it and engage with it appropriately. There's a difference between, you know, being a little bit annoyed by somebody or there being an elephant in the room. So we're here to celebrate our diversity, all the particular personalities, and we're created for shared life. But let's jump back into Ephesians 4 quickly, just to see something else that's deeply hopeful for us. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16 says, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is ahead, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Such encouraging verses. But there's something in here that the writer of Ephesians is wanting us to understand as well. So let's look at it again, but this time with some words bolded just to help us out. And see those bolded words? It says, we will no longer be infants. We will grow. Mature body that grows and builds itself up in love. We are a people in process. We are called to transformation. It's not a virtue to never change. I'm one of those people that, like, I don't particularly like change at times unless I initiate it. Once you put furniture in a room and it looks good, that's the way furniture is meant to stay. It just sits in that spot there and it's great and it's perfectly good. My wife, God bless her, at various points will just walk into a room one day and go, that furniture no longer looks right there. We need to change it all around. The blessing is normally she starts doing this while I'm still at work and I tend to walk in just in time to move all the heavy things. But see, change is inevitable. We either grow or we atrophy, we wither. So even with our particular personalities, they're not meant to be rigid and inflexible. We are meant to grow into ourselves. Over time, and as we journey with Jesus and with others, we can mature as we are being transformed by the work of the Spirit in our own lives and in our own community. As Jesus follows, we are called to live as responsive people. In our shared lives with our neighbors, even the difficult ones. With creation around us and with God, we are designed to live dynamically, reflectively, responding in love and growing in maturity and discernment. We are called to grow. Sometimes it's a particular season that we're in. Maybe leaving high school and stepping into the adult world. Maybe it's when you travel to a developing nation or foster a child or change careers, seasons of ill health, the birth of a grandchild, the loss of a loved one. All of these seasons can awake opportunities for us to grow and to change. Sometimes it's in the smaller steps, the seemingly insignificant choices that there is an invitation in one step at a time living. Because let's be honest, our default in an overstimulating world is to live reactively. Knee-jerk decisions, knee-jerk responses, self-protective defensiveness, and then run back to the huddle of people who all think and look the same way that we do, so we don't have to be scared anymore. But what about if in those moments we lent into the stretching tension of growth? We said, God, I want you to keep changing me. I want you to transform me into your likeness. So here's a fun test for you. Maybe this week, find someone you can count on to tell you the truth about yourself. Hopefully you have a couple of those. And maybe ask them this week, with a deep breath, what's it like to be on the receiving end of me? How do you experience me? I'm genuinely interested and would really value your honest opinion because I'm wanting to grow. And then breathe slowly and listen. Don't defend. Don't clarify. And when they're done, thank them for the gift of feedback. And then you can go away and fall into a bubbly nest and then make a cup of tea and reset yourself. You know, whatever you need to do, go for a walk or something. Can we do that? Pick a time when you're not feeling fragile. Okay, that's not a good time to go and ask somebody for feedback about you. Pick somebody that you trust, whose opinion you value, and then listen to them knowing that you have an opportunity to see yourself through another person's eyes, to see what you can't see on your own with a view to what maturity might look like for you. And in that moment, because the reality is that when we ask for honest feedback, we're probably going to hear something that grates against us or that is hard to hear. Remember in that moment that you are held in the love of God, as in all times, in the affirmations that you receive and the aspects that maybe you find more challenging, know that you are still held in the love of God. And the other part of that challenge is, can you be ready to do that for somebody? If they come to you and say, what do you think about me? What things do you see as positives about who I am? Are there areas that, you know, those rough edges that I need to be aware of that I continue to develop in? Are our close relationships that robust? And if they're not, what can we do to grow in those? In sharing this message today, I am very aware that you are hearing this through my voice, my life, my personality. There is no way in heaven or on earth that my wife would share a dad joke as part of a message. She just would not do that. And she's probably telling me off at home for having done that now. Yet at the same time today, you are hearing and seeing M. You're seeing M's personality in the art that she chose. Each one of those pictures has meaning for her. They tell a story. They represent something of who God is. If you want to know about why she chose those art pieces or even where they came from, I encourage you to have a chat with her when she's back at church and feeling a bit better. She would love to be able to talk to you about that. M is somebody who sees the connections in things often before other people do. She loves the way that God creates this interconnectedness of all of creation and of community. She is passionate about community, about the shared life that we hold together in Christ. And she knows what a DISC profile is. These are not kind of natural to me in my way of doing things, but it is such a blessing to see them in operation in her. And they're just some of the things that I love about her. So, in summary, let's look at what we've considered just quickly today. We talked about particular personalities and how God loves diversity. That those times when we can feel strange and like we don't quite fit, be reminded about the fact that we are called to grow in that, but at the same time, you are diverse as part of God's expression of who He is. We talked about shared life in community, about being interconnected, how God designed us to be that way. It's no surprise that God uses so many illustrations of the body as He talks about the church. And then finally, we talked about transformation, about being willing to be challenged and to grow up in grace. So as we wrap up this message today, we're going to take a moment to pray. And as we pray, I'm going to invite you to consider those three points and the things that we've talked about today, and to actually give room for God to speak. You know, we talk about inviting other voices to speak into our lives. Well, the most important voice you can ask to speak into your life is Jesus. And in this moment, as we pray together, to say, Jesus, speak to me. Talk to me about how you created me to be. That personality that you invested in me even before I was born, that has been shaped and developed over time and experiences to make me who I am today. And to consider each of these things. So let's pray this morning and invite Jesus, invite His Holy Spirit to come in our hearts to speak to us this morning. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for who you are. We're grateful for the way that you graciously work with us in all of our differences, in all of our uniqueness. And Lord, we ask this morning, as we bring our personality before you, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us in this, to encourage us in our diversity. To affirm those parts of us that make us that little bit different. And to challenge those parts of us in which we need to grow. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us and remind us about this understanding of a shared life. Of what it means to be called to community. The interconnectedness of relationships as one body. To recognize our place in that shared life and the part that we have to encourage and support those around us. And then finally, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us in the area of transformation, that we would be a people who are not content to stay the same, but that even now, we would invite your Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts. To encourage us. To challenge us. That even as Kat prayed earlier today, that we would come into this place with a sense of expectation that you are here, that you're wanting to move and that you're wanting to work through us to do that. Lord, we are grateful for your presence. Grateful for the diversity that is amongst us. And we surrender all of it into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.